Amen. So the title of this message today is, I will cover you with skin. Oh, glory. There is an inseparable link between skin, the covering of Jesus Christ over his church, and our eternal glory. It is referred to in the Bible as that, you know, that which, you know, in Revelation, the saints come before him and they're robed in white linen, and it's the righteous deeds of the saints. The Corinthian church in its carnal state still was concerned about this. They said, what are we going to look like in heaven? And the Apostle Paul went on to talk about glory. His covering over us is eternal. And I want to start out by telling you today that God really is into image. He's been that way from the very beginning. In the beginning, he made Adam and Eve in what? In his image. And it's an interesting thing, because the way that the old Hebrew is written is that when they looked on Adam and Eve, they thought they saw God. And they had to look again and go, that's not God, that's Adam and Eve. They so reflected his image that when they were looked upon, but think about who they was looking at. It's all the principalities and powers. There were no other people yet. And so for all the rest of creation that we know very little about, he made center stage two people together who are meant to reflect the image of God. God is into his image, and he's into us reflecting his image, and he's into his church reflecting his image, and what was fallen in Adam is being restored in Jesus Christ. Amen? So what God sees when he sees us, and what he is going to celebrate for all eternity, what is going to bring him glory forever, is the skin of Jesus Christ seen in the church. It's our covering. It's what we're being covered with. You cannot separate this miracle of his body being built in the skin, that which is outside in glory. It's meant to be one for us. It's meant for us to understand it. Ezekiel 37:6 says, I will cover you with skin. And we're going to go right to 1 Corinthians 15, to this carnal church that asked Paul, what are we going to look like? What is our image going to be? It's beautiful. Verse 49 says, and I'm going to come back to this earlier stuff later, but as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Father God, I pray you'd open up our eyes today, that we would understand what is at stake for us today. God, I pray, and you know, God, my heart, and I know it comes from you, that the glory in this room that's going to be revealed, that none of it would be taken by the enemy, that we would not trade away eternal glory for things that don't matter, that we as a church, all of us, would understand the suddenness, the coming soon, the reality that soon and very soon the revelation of the glory of the saints is happening, and that we will for all eternity bear the image of the heavenly man, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, but we will. Help us, Lord, to understand the beauty of this countenance of Christ that you cover us with. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Legacies. I don't know, maybe I'm just getting older. Maybe it's because I'm doing more and more memorial services. But you hear a lot about legacies. People are dying. What are they leaving behind? And the legacy of Adam is talked about in 1 Corinthians 15. The first Adam, the first man, was a man of dust. 47 and 48 tells us. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as the man of dust, so also are those who are made of the dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. The first is made of dust. And I thought about that this week. When Adam fell, his legacy was a legacy of fallen clay, a tent of dust, broken on the inside and wearing a tent on the outside, that from that moment of sin is constantly in a state of dying. Inside a flesh that roars against God, and outside a body that just grows closer and closer to death every day. It's not a beautiful picture. But Jesus, his legacy is so much more beautiful. He has a legacy as well, and he has a legacy of making us new creatures and being renewed on the inside, and a glorious body that's coming on the outside. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one is in his own order. Christ was the first fruits, and afterward those who are Christ at his coming." And then comes the end. This phrase, "then comes the end." I was seated in the basement of the Kenai Bible Church, and I was just sitting down there with the Lord, a cup of coffee, and my notebook, and this phrase, "then comes the end." And one of the things that struck me is how suddenly, but how surely this is going to happen. You know, we talk, I mean, again, maybe it's too many deaths lately, maybe it's whatever, I don't know if it's ever too many, but there's this awareness that's starting to soak in that then comes the end is a reality that's coming soon. Do you get that? Part of the reality is I'm sitting in Kenai Bible Church, and I've been looking forward to going back to Alaska for 2 years, and there I sat. There it came. There it was. And now it's over. Your life is there it was. And now it's over. Then comes the end. It's coming. The end is near. Amen? Do you really sense that? Do you live that? Everything in the kingdom of God is gloriously upside down from the things of the world. If you're watching a show and the end comes up, what does that mean? It's over. It's done. It's time to leave. It's time to go back out into that blinding light of the real world and the 99-degree heat and do something else. But when Jesus says, "then comes the end," it's just the beginning. Oh, my word, is that different. And the message to his precious, precious bride is the end is coming, and you need to be dressed for this. You need to be ready. One of my dearly beloved ladies in this church walked into this church last week, and one of my other dearly beloved ladies looked at her and said, "Did you look in the mirror this morning?" And it was said in love, by the way. Because that's what we do, right? When we prepare to go somewhere, we look in the mirror, we get ready. I need to ask you, are you ready for this? Because the beginning is coming. Your beginning is coming. And God is into image. He is passionately into image. He is into what's coming for his church. And I mentioned a passage earlier, we may get to it later, but there's so much energy. But I want you to think about that for a minute. If all of creation is going through birth pangs right now, birth pangs. I mean, how many ladies are close to giving birth right now in our church? Quite a few. How many have just given? It seems like we're in a constant cycle of somebody's in labor, right? And I know us guys, you know, we say stuff like, yeah, you know. Listen, guys have no idea, right? Amen. You can say that, ladies. Guys have no idea, right? They have no idea. But when it says that creation, all the creation is in birth pangs, that's the energy of Jesus Christ infusing every star, every tree. He's longing for the day when your image will explode into reality. He's longing for that day when his image, his holy covering over his saints will be revealed. I love what old Peter says about it because he gets it. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Then comes the end. What does the end look like? 1 Peter chapter 1, he had the end in sight. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. It's alive, this hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He conquered death, and what's more, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I mean, it is so beautiful. And it's layer upon layer of energy here, and he's saying it's ready to be revealed in the last time. I want to ask you something. Are you robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Are you longing for the day when that will be seen? Ready to be revealed. This word revealed is a high, high energy word. It's apokalupto. You've heard me share it before if you've been around a while. It is our great next. It is the apocalypse that will rock the world. It's an understatement. It will rock all of God's creation. When he, apokalupto, when he, an apocalypse of the saints, when that which is covering us is torn away and the glory of the saints explodes on the scene. Ready to be apokalupto. Are you ready for that? You know, I speaking of movies, I hardly ever go, but if you do go now, I haven't been to one in a while, but the trend has been that all the little clips that they show before the one you're trying to watch are almost always apocalyptic in nature. Is that still the case? It's been that way more and more and more. Because I think the enemy is trying to prepare the world to numb the world down to the fact that the apocalypse is coming. But there is an apocalypse coming. Then came the end. There's an explosion. And it's you. And that explosion, I wrote this earlier, it's going to have shockwaves of glory. And the scripture says to all generations forever and forever and forever. It's you. It's the power of skin. It's the power of the covering of Jesus Christ over you. I will put my skin on them, and that's going to be revealed. I will put my covering, I will robe them in my righteousness, and when this veil, this clay dust, this tent is put off, I will not be unclothed, but Paul said I will be what? Further clothed. I'll be clothed in the glory and the beauty and the radiance of Jesus Christ, and who we really are on the inside is going to explode to the outside, and it'll have repercussions that will go on forever and forever and forever. And all of creation is yearning for that day, the explosion of the saints. And yet most saints go, huh? What? Huh? If that is your response to glory, I'm telling you, that's a dangerous response, because what you will do is trade away your glory for that which does not profit, because you don't value it. Oh, to not lose any of that. I so appreciate Pastor Fidelis' Sunday school class, and I want to encourage you, if you're not there, you missed something really special this morning. Amen? What he talked about is dying what? Empty, finished, poured out. Because there's one of the greatest tragedies is to walk through a cemetery and realize that there's all these potential, all these lives, all this glory that could have been to God, all this glory that could have been lived in for all eternity that was just left behind because people didn't live the life that God called them to. Jeremiah chapter 2, God says, be horribly afraid. He calls all the heavens to be horribly afraid because my people have traded away their glory for that which does not profit. Are you ready to be revealed in the last time? The end is near. And the glory of Jesus Christ is going to radiate outward forever and forever and forever. Then comes the end and what is really just the beginning. What is hidden. Paul talked about this so many places, but one of my favorite places is Colossians chapter 3. Let's go there. Somehow I get more excited about your future than mine, by the way. Is that true of you? I see the glory in you. And Paul is telling these Colossian believers, Colossians, yeah, those guys. Chapter 3, verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, if you've been born again and you live in a resurrected life, if Christ is in you, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. What's he saying in Ephesians? That you and I are what? Alive what? Alive together. We're alive together, but we're in Christ. You'll ever alive together in Christ, seated in Christ. Right now, that's our position. And he's asking the Colossians, look, if you live that resurrected life, seek those things which are above. What's above? You are. That's what he's saying. It's not like just seek Jesus because he's up there. No, no. Seek this truth. You are right now. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Where are you at right now? In Christ, in God, seated at his right hand. It's where you are right now, even if you feel so much like clay here. You are in him and right there. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Are you ready to be revealed? Are you ready to experience what is going on right now as you're seated in Christ in the heavenlies? Are you ready for that appearance? That word appear means to shine. It's where we get our word phosphorus or phosphorescent. It means to shine publicly, to manifest and declare. When the end comes, we're going to just begin to declare his glory. When the end comes, it will just be our beginning. Set your mind on this. Be ready for this. Expect it. Let it be your hope. He goes on to say in Colossians, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. And that's an intense phrase. Therefore murder your flesh. Why? Because if all these things that he then begins to list, the reason he's saying we got to be so radically against those things is those things do what? They steal your eternal glory. Think about it like that. Put to death fornication. Put it to death because it's stealing glory. Things that God meant for you to be robed in that day that you forsook, and you stood in front of that screen, you watched that which you shouldn't watch, and you gave yourself to that pleasure, and you just lost eternal glory in that moment. Put to death your passion, your evil desires, and your coveting and wanting other things of this world, because it's trading away your eternal glory. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. You used to walk that way. Don't walk that way. You're free now to make this choice. Put off anger. Put off wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language out of your mouth. Quit lying to each other. You've put off the old man. He's dead. Don't live like that. Live for glory. Therefore, as the elect of God, verse 12, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and suffering. Because what are those things? What's the Sunday school answer? What are those things? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Put on the Lord. Put on the Lord. Take him. Take in his heart and his mind, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. When you do that, what happens? Glory. Glory. You say, well, people don't see that. They will. The revelation of the saints, every single time you put on Jesus, it is going to reverberate forever and forever and forever the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, and they have now turned a corner. They are now walking with God. And he has the apocalypse in mind. Therefore, we do not lose heart, chapter 4, verse 16. Even though our outward man is perishing, this body's dying, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He's looking at this economy of life, and he's saying, what is costing you now? It's hard to live this life. The way poor Josiah, he went to Alaska with a bunch of old people. And I don't know how he stood it, but you get around old people and they're always talking about what? Dying. They don't say it like dying, but they talk about this that hurts and that hurts and this, yeah. How much fun is that? Yeah. I think God will give him glory for that, don't you? For our light affliction, that is our light affliction, which is but for a moment, but it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Eternal. It can never be taken away. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And then it says this, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is being destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and for in this we groan. Oh, we desire to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. God is the one that gives us the hunger. God is the one who gives us the covering. He's made us to long for this eternal place. And he's given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And then it says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And then he says this phrase, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord. Knowing that soon, and very soon, we're going to stand before him. This house of dust is crumbling. But not his skin, his covering. It is being renewed. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Why did the Apostle Paul say, knowing the terror of the Lord? He didn't elaborate on that because he had already told them that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's a lot of Christians today say that we shouldn't fear God. I want to tell you, that is a plague on the church. Christians should fear God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he's telling them in regard to this great moment, this revelation that's coming, that we need to fear God. And here's why, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is doing what? Jesus is building what? He's building his church. And the Apostle Paul is talking about, you know, we're all in this together. Jesus is building his church, and we are together in this work of the Lord. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. And then he says this, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear for the day. That day, and it's capitalized, will declare it. Because it will be revealed by what? By fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. The end will come. All of creation is longing for the day, the revelation of the saints of Jesus Christ. But before we step forward in glory, there's a fire that's going to happen. Because the glory that is going to bring glory to God for all eternity is pure and holy, and it is Jesus and Jesus only. And so everything in us that is not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we're going to come before Jesus himself, and fire is going to proceed from him, and everything that's not built on him is going to go up in smoke. Now, how many Christians know that there are parts of your day, parts of your week that are going to go up in smoke? And it goes on to talk about us suffering loss. There are parts of my life that have not been Jesus. I regret that. I know that I have traded away some of the glory that God had for me that was meant to bring glory to him for all eternity. When it says suffers loss, that should hurt. You should realize that's actually something worth weeping about. And when it says that God's going to wipe away every tear, I believe that he's going to reach down to Christians at that moment who are like, oh God, you died for me. That was blood bought, meant to bring you glory for all eternity. And I traded it away for that pleasure. I traded it away for my flesh. And he's going to reach down. He's going to wipe those tears off your face because you're going to recognize the loss. And then he's going to reach down. He's going to comfort us because it's real. And he says, let's move on into the glory that you did walk in. But it's a very real thing, and that's why the Apostle Paul himself said, knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing that soon and very soon, this person is going to stand in the presence of unspeakable holiness, and my life will be tried by fire. Then came the end. And then after that, we will go on to walk in the glory that God has given to us in our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you look later, these same Corinthians are asking him, what are we going to look like in heaven? What's our image going to be? In effect, what's our skin? What are we going to look like? Verse 24, 15, then comes the end. They ask the questions about the end. Well, what are we going to look like? And he answers the question in verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And he goes on to explain to them, and he uses a very simple picture. What we sow is what we're going to what? Reap. And while what Jesus said and what is said in other scriptures is that there's a huge difference between life here and life there, amen? But it's, you can't separate the two. And so he uses a picture of an apple seed. When you look at an apple seed, does it look like a tree? No. But is there a connection between the apple seed and the tree? Yes. Where does the life of the tree come from? The seed. So when the seed dies, when that miracle happens, and it's watered and all that stuff happens, what comes out of that seed? Not the seed, but a glorious tree. What you sow is not made alive, what? Unless you die, unless you give it to him. And so that's the picture that's here. There is an inseparable link between what we do in Christ and our eternal glory. You're going to be robed in the glory of what you walked in today. So your choices matter. There's a demonic teaching. Oh, I hate it. I want you to know I hate it because it robs the saints. That we're going to go through death's door, and all the saints are going to lay down their life, and it's all going to just be swept away, and we're all going to move on into eternity, and we're going to be robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we're all going to look the same. And there's not going to be any relationship to what we do in heaven or what we look like in heaven or what we do today. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Each one of you, when you die, and I love what he shared in Sunday school this morning, when you die empty and you've poured out your life, as Paul said, I'm being poured out as a drink offering, each one of you has a particular glory to enter into that God has ordained before he ever created you. And you can trade away your glory. And that's what he goes on to tell them. Someone will say, how are the dead raised up? He goes, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it what? Dies. He that will preserve his life will what? Lose it. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. In other words, it's connected, but it's what we see here isn't much, right? Oh, but God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. It's connected. You can't separate the two. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. Listen, he's saying, we are different than the rest of creation. He goes, there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. He goes on to talk about glory. Again, what are we going to look like? What is our skin, the covering of the saints, going to look like? Oh, glory. Oh, glory. You're going to be further clothed more than you could ever imagine in the glory of Jesus Christ, and the glory of one is different than the glory of the other. And it goes on to say in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. There won't be a single person in heaven that won't forever and forever and forever be glorifying Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as a no-glory saint. None. There's no such thing. People point to the thief who died on the cross. Listen, we talk about him because he made a public testimony that Jesus Christ was the truth in the midst of all who are accusing him of being a lie. There's glory for him for all eternity. Amen? There is no such thing as a saint in heaven who doesn't have a story of bringing glory to God in this life. There is no such thing. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The apocalypse is coming. Who you are in Christ will be revealed. Did you look in the mirror today? Has God shown you? Do you know what brings glory to him? I want you to stop and think about this. In this earth, I mean, in the world, when there's a stage production and it's over, what happens to the curtain? It goes down. All of creation, all of eternal, the kingdom of God is just the opposite of what we see in our world. When the end comes, when your end comes, the curtain doesn't fall. The curtain does what? Goes up. Isn't that amazing? All that you think is hidden, when the curtain is finally raised and you stand before the Lord God, oh, that will be glory for me. Does your heart stand ready to be revealed? Here am I, Lord Jesus. Can you stand with the Apostle Peter and say, oh, haste the day? That will be glory for me. Then comes the end. All that is veiled and hidden will be revealed. What will your apocalypse look like? Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. It will be revealed by fire. Nothing will be hidden. Knowing the terror of the Lord, the Apostle Paul said, let's go back to that passage in 2 Corinthians, because there's an urgency born of that truth. Verse 11 of chapter 5, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are all well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. He said, knowing the terror of the Lord, and he goes on to say in the same chapter, verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, but he's given us right now in this place the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And then it says this, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Knowing the terror of the Lord, he's begging those that would hear his word to be reconciled to God. Because the end is coming. The end is coming soon. It's coming, and it's unstoppable. Then came the end. And I love the energy of this same apostle to the Corinthian church. My hunger, my desire is to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The apostle is looking forward to the day when the Corinthian church, now having repented, now walking with God, reconciled to God, he's looking forward to their revelation. He's looking forward to their apocalypse. He's looking forward to the day when the veil will be lifted and the glory of the Lord will be seen in them. He said, I'm begging you. And he goes on to say, chapter 6, we then as workers together with him, with Christ, pleading with you, not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I've heard you. In the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. I want to tell you today, it doesn't matter how much you've wasted in the past. It doesn't matter how much is going to burn. What matters is what you will do with Christ today. Now is the day. Now is the day to say, I will not lose anymore. God, I know that I'm going to stand before you. I want to stand ready to be revealed. I want to stand knowing that I will bring glory to you for all eternity. By the way, I've had people criticize me about this thing about glory, saying glory is not something we seek for us. It's all about Jesus. And I want to tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You need to long for your own glory, because your glory is what will magnify him, because you are whose story? You're his. You're his story. And he bought you with his blood. You need to long for every page of glory that he has written for you. Every page of it is uniquely your gift. You need to be hungry for that. Jesus said that. He said, I beg you. He said, do this. Invest. Be rich toward God. That's riches for you. Why? Because forever and forever you'll be glory. So that humble stand, oh, I don't want to do anything for me. No. That's a lie. Be greedy for the glory that he has for you, because who's it going to reflect throughout all eternity? Jesus. You know, long for that. To every Christian today that's walking in the glory of the Lord, we're going to sing this song, I Will Rise. And I want you to hear these words. No matter how much you stumble in this life, you will mount up with wings of eagles. No matter how much fatigue comes upon you as you work this glorious path, you will run and not be weary. No matter how much you feel weak, you will walk and not faint. When the end comes, it's going to be an end to celebrate. It's going to be an end to pain. It's going to be an end to suffering. It's going to be an end to sacrifice. It's going to be an end to broken hearts and broken bodies. It's going to be an end that is going to be the greatest beginning you ever imagined. The end is coming. Your end is going to be your beginning. And I want you to continue by faith to walk in whatever God has for you, because every single day, the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in you. And I look forward to the day. I long for the day when I see the revelation of the saints around me who are suffering for the Lord. I long for that day when that glory will explode and I can see it go through shockwaves of eternity, and those people will run and they will fly and they will not faint, and they will dive into the presence of Jesus Christ and they'll be fully alive, and all the saints around them have come to Christ because of their testimony will forever and forever glorify God. I look forward to that day. Then comes the end, and it will be our beginning. Father God, I thank you today that you see our future. And God, you don't see it through some sort of weird rose-colored glasses. You see it for what it really is. When we are in Christ, it is unstoppable glory. And God, today I pray that truth would sanctify the saints in this place. God, if we have traded away your glory for that which has no profit, God, I pray you'd lead us to repentance. God, I know that there's enough life in this room fully surrendered to you to change this entire world. There's enough life, there's enough glory waiting in this room to change the entire world forever and forever. God, I pray today that every saint here be able to stand in that day and receive the glory, the entire story that you have written for them. God, I'm mindful of your prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, it ends with this, because yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. And God, I pray that at the apocalypse of your saints, when we stand naked before Jesus, you would be revealed in all that you've done. And I don't need to ask for that. It will happen. But God, I pray today we'd see it. Help us, Lord. There's anything getting in the way of that, anything that we're trading away, lead us into the paths of glory. Story that you've written. Forever and forever and forever, we will be thankful for every step of the way. And we give you the praise. Jesus, happen in us today. We give it to you. We love you. And glory to your name. Thank you, Father. And may the saints arise in faith and in joy. Because there's coming a day soon when our beginning starts. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.